Friday. Glad you made it through the week so far. But a big finale this day. Will Donald Trump declare a national emergency? That's a big question. And did Annie McCabe and other members of the Department of Justice commit a crime by actually trying to oust the president of the United States outside the constitutional authority that they would even have, which is, well, none. Anyhow, Professor William Wagner is here with me for the president of Salt and Light Global and the Great Lakes Justice Center. Professor, welcome back.
Great to be here again, Steve.
So I think the number is 58, if I'm counting right, and I ran out of fingers and toes, but I think I'm counting right in the number of national emergencies declared since this law was put into place in the mid-1970s, 58. And of those, you know, like 30 are still active, you know, national emergencies. And so when the president says, I'm going to declare a national emergency, free up $8 billion in money for the border wall, which is the money he says they now have at their access, and the left goes crazy, of course. Who's right? Who's wrong? Does he have the authority? Is it an overstep? Is it an overreach? Professor, take us to school.
Well, the first thing we need to do in these situations is not look at the political question, but look at the exercise of executive power. And so you ask, does the president have constitutional authority to do this? Does he have statutory authority given to him by Congress to do this? And here he's got both. The Constitution in Article 2 says he's the commander-in-chief of the armed forces. There is an express statute passed by Congress for these emergency declarations that expressly authorize the presidents to issue these declarations. And I would go even further. Beyond that, the Constitution, Article 2, says all executive power shall be vested in the president. Well, every liberal constitutional scholar in the country interprets and says that means that the president has broad inherent authority beyond those first two things I just explained.
Well, they never seem to mind. Let me jump in here, Professor, because those on the left never seem to mind when Barack Obama got out his cell phone and his pen and tried to do the work of the Congress, which he did routinely, passing executive orders and so forth. Now, many of those have been rolled back because they don't have the teeth of passing actual legislation, but still, it seems like, well, pretty frankly, a double standard.
Well, the hypocrisy of the left sometimes just, you know, continues to astound. And, you know, the difference between when President Obama unilaterally exercised executive power and when we've got a situation like we have here with regard to declaring a national emergency on the border is that, you know, the president didn't have, you know, statutory authority, didn't have, you know, Congress supporting him. And, you know, when you exercise this constitutional authority using just your inherent power as the being the executive of the chief executive of the country, the courts have said that your inherent power is at its greatest when Congress is supporting you, and it's at its least when Congress is opposing you. Well, Congress has supported this issue in the sense that it has expressly passed a statute, the Emergency Act, authorizing the president to issue this type of emergency. So here the president is on pretty strong constitutional and statutory ground when he, if he does as expected, declares a national emergency.
Now, some argue that he can't, that the way this bill is written, that if he signs the bill, it'll mean that he can't build any part of the wall the way it's because you can't build the wall on federal land is one of the things that I've seen trickle out of this, which makes no sense whatsoever, or that local politicians can stand in the way. And so some are arguing that if he signs the bill and declaring a national emergency will be invalid because he signed a bill saying he can't build the wall. Does that make sense?
Well, it does if it's an appropriation, if it's not an appropriation. If there is an express, you know, statute that says he cannot build a wall, well, then he would be exercising his inherent power, you know, against the will of the Congress, and, you know, that would make it a tougher question in a courtroom. If, on the other hand, what he's signing is just an appropriation, and I don't know, I haven't looked at this 1,000-page law that's coming to his desk, if it's just an appropriation, well, then he's not spending any of that appropriated money that's been that limited amount of appropriated money. He's spending other money under his emergency powers. And again, this emergency act that authorizes him to issue a national emergency gives the president broad powers. In other contexts, you know, you and I may have a discussion whether or not that act is a good idea to give a any president, you know, unilateral power to do, you know, all sorts of things. But the problem is, or not the problem, the truth is that right now Congress has given a president, any president, the power to engage in these kind of actions when the president deems.
Well, let me ask you this, because if it says that he says he can't build the wall, but he has the plenary power to decide who can come, we've already been down that road. As the president, he can decide who's allowed into the country and who's not, right? He can dictate immigration in general.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's a lot going to go on here, and an emergency declaration will trigger a long, drawn-out legal fight, which is okay. We're in round two of a 15-round heavyweight battle here, and the battle is for America because the battle is for our sovereignty, and without sovereignty, you don't have a nation. And here's the other thing. The delays that could come from a drawn-out legal battle will give this president a potent 2020 issue on the campaign trail, I believe, because if he says, listen, we're trying to do this, and they're trying to block us at every step because they don't want national security, because they hate this country, and they want to tear us down, and they want to flood us with illegal aliens, I think he has a potent issue for 2020.
Well, this president, you know, long before he became president, had a history of building big things, getting them done, you know, on time and ahead of budget. And so, you know, if he gets any window in time, don't be surprised what you see happening. I could see some, you know, buddy on the left finding some friendly judge at a very low level and, you know, kind of, you know, pick and choose the judge they put this in front of. But by the time it gets to the Court of Appeals and the, especially the U.S. Supreme Court, he's going to be vindicated. And in the meantime, if it is get delayed, I think the political analysis that you just gave is exactly correct, because then this becomes, you know, an issue, you know, for the campaign. And all the polling I've seen, whether you're on the left or the right, you don't want criminals coming into the country, bringing drugs into the
That's
country.
That's right.
And two-thirds those of numbers us, are just so huge.
Two-thirds of us support a border barrier. Half don't support a wall, but two-thirds support a barrier. I don't care what you call it. Call it a damn fence, then, but get people happy with it and move along. Professor, I got to leave it right there for today, but I greatly appreciate it. William Wagner, the professor and president of Salt and Light Global and the Great Lakes Justice Center. Thank you, as always, for being here, William.
Always great to be here. Thanks, Steve.
There you have it. William Wagner, everybody. Still coming on the program, Ryan Duffy's going to be here from the Enbridge Communications team. Enbridge being the, you know, the regular punching bag from the left when it comes to businesses, even though the company's putting out $500 million to build a new reinforced tunnel to make sure energy flows safely across the Straits of Mackinac. That's not good enough for folks. No, they get attacked. We'll have him. Steve Doolin will be here. And then Steve Forbes will be joining us here on the program. So just it's incredible amount of entertainment value just for you. I don't know how we do this. I'm going to have to feed the producers more because they're just getting it done, all right? Steve Gerber Show on a Friday.
My Pure Health Solutions, formerly Nutrimost, really changed my life. I've lost weight and kept it off, and I feel great. Now it's even easier to make My Pure Health Solutions work for you, anywhere, anytime, from the comfort of your own home. My Pure Health Solutions will build a custom program for you. Not artificial shakes and bars, but real food, so you can keep the weight off. I'm telling you, this works. Jared and the team will evaluate your body, create a one-of-a-kind blueprint for you to get healthy, and you never have to leave home. Go to MyPureHealthSolutions.com. MyPureHealthSolutions.com. Do it now.
Hey, parents. It's hard to pick up your kids nowadays without embarrassing them.
Hi, honey.
Mom, not in front of my friends.
Well, kiss the embarrassment goodbye with OMGPS. OMGPS is a state-of-the-art navigation system that tells you exactly how far away you need to park when you pick up your kids.
Keisha at mall. Proceed to outer food court.
But she's not at the food court. She's at the movie theater.
Exactly. OMGPS comes with patented preteen reasoning technology to pinpoint precise pickup locations and minimize embarrassment.
In 100 yards, turn off the oldies music. traffic.
Thanks, OMGPS.
OMGPS is not available in stores because it doesn't exist. But that's okay. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Because kids in foster care don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUsKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Opioid addiction can affect anyone, any neighborhood, any day.
It happened to me.
I'm recovering.
I lost my son.
One in four patients on long-term painkiller therapy struggles with addiction. But together, we can stop the cycle and end this deadly epidemic. Learn more at michigan.gov/stopoverdoses. Sponsored by the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services and the Michigan Association of Broadcasters.